Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today. Good to be able to come together each day and open up God's Word and dig a little bit deeper, study a little bit further, learn a little bit more, and grow in our faith and grow spiritually. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. I know we emphasize that over and over and over again, but I don't know that we can overemphasize it. People need to come to understand how important it is to be students of God's Word on a consistent, ongoing basis. If you want your faith to be strong, you've got to get into God's Word. If you want to walk with God in faithfulness, you've got to know how to do that, and that is laid out for us in God's Word. We encourage you to come and be with us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. Bible classes begin Sunday mornings at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evenings, we come back together at 6 o'clock for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, 6:30 each Wednesday evening, midweek Bible classes. We teach God's Word. We keep saying we just want to be the church that we all read about in the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We hope that you'll come and check us out, get to know us, let us get to know you. Worship God with us, study His Word with us, and grow spiritually with us at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Now, we encourage you to tell everybody you can about the program, Search the Scriptures, and also to tell everybody to go to our website at churchofchrist.com. churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. We want to help as many people as we can get to heaven. And when you sign up for our podcasting, you will automatically receive to your smartphone or computer or whatever smart device you choose a whole host of Bible study materials, teaching materials every single day, 7 days a week. So take advantage of that. Again, always free. We're going to get back into our series of studies that we have identified as being heart troubles or problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. Now, we've already covered a whole host of these, and prayerfully and hopefully they have been meaningful for you and probably have opened some people's eyes as to the nature of what kind of heart problems these are. Some people might not think that some of the topics that we've covered are, you know, they would not maybe classify them in their mind as problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective, but they are. However the devil can get into our lives, however he can get into our head, whatever doubts he can plant, whatever ungodly thoughts that he can plant in our minds and our thinking, and hopefully, and from his perspective, hopefully get us to act on those, he's going to do that. And he is very shrewd at what he does in his work to lead us astray. Remember how the Apostle Peter portrays the devil in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. He portrays him as being like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you and I are the prey that he's seeking to devour. And how does he devour us? Well, it's not the idea of ripping our flesh apart and tearing us limb from limb and eating us all up in a physical way. He devours us. That's at least he wants to devour us by leading us into sin, by leading us to become overwhelmed in unrighteousness, unrighteous living, and thereby away from God. And his desire for us is to lead us to eternal destruction in hell. God wants to give us eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ. The devil wants to lead us away from God and away from the Savior. Well, let's look at this, begin to look at this next section of our study of heart troubles, problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. We've talked about hatred, we've talked about anger, we've talked about laziness, we've talked about gossip and a number of others. But this one, prejudice. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us instruction from God through the words that Paul was writing, because, as he pointed out in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, as we've emphasized many times, it is God's very word. More literally, the Greek says it is God-breathed. And the idea, the imagery of the words coming across God's very lips, out of his mouth. Now, God is spirit, so he doesn't have a physical body as we are used to in our physical existence. And so, you know, but that's the imagery that is portrayed there by the Apostle Paul, as though God were speaking these very words. And so here Paul says, whatever instruction I'm writing for you, whatever guidelines I'm giving you, whatever commandments I'm laying down for you, all of that is from God. And so I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. We have a problem with prejudice in our lives, don't we? At least it's a potential problem. And you say, well, no, I have no prejudice. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not a prejudiced person. Well, there's all kinds of prejudice. The definition of prejudice, a preformed opinion. It is to prejudge, biased, showing partiality, either against or for somebody or something. And prejudice can take both directions. Lots of times. In fact, I would suggest to you, most of the time, wherever there is a prejudice against somebody or something, there is probably also a prejudice on the other end of that toward the person who is prejudiced against somebody or something. See, it's not just a one-way street. It's open to both directions. Now remember what Paul said there, without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. That word partiality is a synonym for the word prejudice. And so again, a preformed opinion, to prejudge, biased, showing partiality, either against or for somebody or something. Prejudice can take both directions. You would not want to stand before a judge in a lawsuit case who, before he even hears the case, is already prejudiced against you, or who is already prejudiced in a positive way for your opponent in the case. You see, there are all kinds of prejudice in the world. Normally, when somebody thinks about prejudice, or hears the word prejudice, or hears a conversation about being prejudiced, they think about whatever line or direction of prejudice that they have become familiar with, that they have seen or experienced. And so, in our country, when you use the word prejudice, most of the time, I would suggest, in people's minds, that conjures up the idea of racial prejudice. And generally speaking, it would be the idea of white Americans being prejudiced against black Americans, or black Americans being prejudiced against white Americans. Now, you see, I said it goes both ways. Now, what we have continually, for a great many years now, tried to get across is the social mindset, well, not just the social mindset, the godly mindset, that we should not be prejudiced against anybody. Now, do we have to make some judgment calls? We've talked about that many times on these radio programs. We are told to judge with righteous judgment, as Jesus said in John's gospel account. But there's a difference between making a judgment call that needs to be made, and all of us make those judgment calls all the time, and being prejudiced. Naturally, ingrained within us, a prejudice against somebody for some reason. But now, as I said, prejudice takes all kinds of directions. Is there prejudice in our country? Yes, there is. There's prejudice probably in every country all around the globe. But now, what about all these directions? See, is it just racial prejudice? There's not just racial prejudice between blacks and whites. And let me tell you again, it's not only on one side or the other, it's on both sides in a great many cases. But there's also racial prejudice against people from other countries who come to this country, or maybe who don't come to this country to live, but there's a prejudice against them for some reason or another in the minds of somebody. But there's prejudice on the part of people from the North against people from the South. Now, everybody? Of course not. But there's also prejudice on the part of people from the South against people from the North. There's prejudice on the part of people who live in some of the big cities in this country against people who live in flyover country. Small towns, agricultural areas. And there's prejudice on the part of people, some people in flyover country against people in some of the big cities. There's prejudice on the part of people on the East Coast against people in flyover country, and vice versa. And there's prejudice on the part of people in the West Coast against people in flyover country, and vice versa. There's prejudice on the part of some people who have college degrees against people who don't have college degrees, or maybe don't even have a high school diploma. And there's prejudice on the part of people who don't have maybe even a high school diploma, and certainly not a college degree, against people who do because they think they're arrogant and they look down their nose at them. There's prejudice on the part of people who are wealthy against people who are poor. And there's prejudice on the part of poor people against people who are wealthy because they think they've got it and I don't, and they don't deserve it and I need some of it. I deserve some of it. You see, it goes on and on and on and on. And when you talk about prejudice, you go to some parts of Africa, you will find tribes who hate one another. And they're all of the same skin color. And they are all of the same basic nation. When you go to Northern Ireland, you will find white folks who hate other white folks, but not on the basis of racism, but on the basis of a difference in religious perspective. You see, again, it goes on and on and on and on. All kinds of different directions, but it's all prejudice. Well, what does God say? Observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. God holds no prejudice, and that ought to be our standard. We ought to always want to live a godly life, a life that brings God glory. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16? In verse 13, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, for a long time, it took me, a great deal of thinking to figure out what Jesus really meant by that. You're the salt of the earth. Now, I knew it was supposed to be something good, positive, from a spiritual perspective, but I had a tough time. Salt? Salt is salty. You put too much salt in something, it's repulsive. But what he's talking about there is, what is the basic use of salt? It's a seasoning influence. It makes food better. You can think about it from different applications. If you're going to make homemade ice cream, you need salt, don't you? Rock salt. Now, that has always intrigued me. If you're from the North and you're used to snow and ice, when it comes wintertime, you've got ice on your driveway, you go out and throw some rock salt out there and it melts the salt, it melts the ice. But if you want to make ice cream, you've got to have rock salt, and somehow that makes the ice cream form. Well, that's the reality of the qualities and character of salt. But we put it on our food to make it better. to make it taste better. You also can use salt to season, or rather to preserve meat. It will preserve that meat so that it can be kept for a long period of time and still be good and healthy. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. If you're going to be his faithful follower, if you're going to be a true Christian, he said, you're supposed to be that salt, a seasoning influence for good upon the people around you and thereby upon the place where you live. And then he goes on in verse 14, he says, you're the light of the world. And then he talks about how a city built on a hill cannot be hidden because you turn the lights on at night. It's obvious. It's there. You see it through the darkness. That hillside city is lit up. And then he says, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we're supposed to be a glorifying to God influence upon the world around us, the people around us. We're supposed to be seasoning salt. We're supposed to be a shining light to help people see God through the way that we live and Jesus through the way we live. Well, God holds no prejudice, no prejudice. He offers forgiveness and salvation to everyone who will come to him through Jesus Christ. And he holds back that offer from nobody who would be willing to come to him through the Savior, Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 34, we read this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works his righteousness is accepted by him. What is that saying in that verse again? In every nation, whoever fears him, holds him in reverence, in awe, and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word whoever leaves out nobody. Nobody. When it says, when Peter said, God shows no partiality, that means he shows absolutely no partiality, no prejudice. He doesn't look at one person and say, you know, I just like that person, and I'm going to save them no matter how they live. And that other person over there, yeah, they look like they're really trying to live a godly life, trying to be faithful, following the teachings in my Bible, but, you know, I don't really care for them that much. I think I'm just going to condemn them to hell. Well, God's not like that. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. For whom did God send his Son into this world as the Savior? John 3:16, perhaps the most familiar verse in the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that leaves out nobody in that desire to save humanity. He sent Jesus for all of the world, for everybody, everywhere, in every nation, in every generation. God is not prejudiced. When it comes to his offer of salvation to mankind, and this is an incredible verse, and I know that I refer to this many times in teaching and preaching, as well as on these radio programs, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, Jesus did not come to call the good people to repentance. He came to call sinners to repentance. And that's everybody outside of Christ. If it were simply up to us by the way we act, by the way we live, to somehow be counted righteous in and of ourselves, by ourselves, because of how we live, that we'd be lost. No way. We need the forgiving power of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross on our behalf to cleanse us of the guilt of our sins. And as we come to him through baptism, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling in the name of the Lord." So as we're baptized into Christ, the blood that he shed on the cross to cleanse us of the guilt of our sins, it does exactly that. And we're forgiven. Now, which ones of us are sinners? The Apostle Paul wrote, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3 and verse 23. In verses 9 and 10, he said, "There is none righteous, no, not one." See, every one of us needs forgiveness through Jesus Christ, needs redemption through our Lord and Savior. Every single one of us. And God offers that. Forgiveness, redemption, salvation, eternal life to everyone who will come to him through Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, as we mentioned a moment ago, he had been a violent enemy of the church and of Christ. But God accepted him and forgave him when he came to understand his error and repented and turned to God through Christ for forgiveness and salvation. We're going to stop here. We'll pick up and go a little bit further next time, talking about prejudice. God holds no prejudice. He offers forgiveness and salvation to everyone who will come to him through Jesus Christ, no matter their background. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us. Help us to open our hearts to come to you through Jesus Christ, confident that you will forgive us through the blood that he shed on the cross for us, and that you will give us salvation through him and eternal life. We praise you, Father, and we give you the glory. Please be merciful with us. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.